You're listening to Live at Dubai Duty Free Irish Open Radio, hosted by the Rory Foundation.
Day two at the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open proved to be just as testing as day one. And yet again, one subject dominated play.
I see another monster cloud coming over that just looks thick and gooey of rain.
You know Independence Day, the film, when those big spaceships come into land? It's like that.
Only a few players managed to get the better of Royal County Down today. Among them, Scotland's Richie Ramsey. And in she pops. What a tee shot that was from the Scotsman at the par 3 fourth. And how well is he doing?
67's a great score out there. And, you know, great atmosphere when the putts go in. There's nice cheers and stuff. And I think everybody's having a great time out there.
We'll hear from the contenders at the halfway stage and from the tournament host, Rory McIlroy, who couldn't quite summon the magic needed to make the cut. Hello and a warm welcome from me, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Live at Dubai Duty Free Irish Open radio team. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll be looking back at all the stories from the second day here at Royal County Down. Former European Tour and PGA Tour player John E. Morgan, esteemed broadcaster Ron Jones will join me to look back at all the stories of the day here, as we say, from that world number one and tournament host Rory McIlroy, who wasn't able to put together the round good enough to make the cut. And we'll run you through all those who will be here at the weekend later on. But let's run you through the top of the leaderboard then, as things stand after 36 holes. A five-way share at the top. Tyrrell Hatton, Søren Kjelstad, Richie Ramsey, Bernd Wiesberger and Chris Wood, the players at three under par. John Morgan, as I say, and Ron Jones alongside me. Ron, I suppose the disappointment is Rory won't be here at the weekend, but we've still got so much to look forward to, haven't we?
We have indeed. The plain fact is Rory left himself with too much to do. The damage was done yesterday in the first round. A level par round today. Had he done that yesterday, quite obviously and clearly, he would have been in the field for Saturday and Sunday. But whether the pressure got to him, whether he was asking too much of himself, I don't think it was necessarily pressure. I suspect it was quite simply that he'd been doing so much. He'd been chasing round for his own foundation, of course. He was so anxious to do well for them. He was anxious to do well for the huge crowds that had primarily turned up to watch him, of course. Let's be honest about it. He's at home here. He's the world number one. Everyone wanted to see him in his own country playing his best golf. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. For whatever reason, he offered no excuses. And that is a tribute to Rory. He's that sort of guy. He's very honest. No excuses at all. As far as he was concerned, he didn't play as well as he might have. It's a shame, of course, that he's not here. But as you rightly say, there are so many other very, very good players in the field. This is a top European event, after all. We've still got some great golf to look forward to.
Absolutely. More on McIlroy a little later on. We'll hear from Rory as well. But those five co-leaders, 66 today from Tyrrell Hatton. Not sure if we saw that coming, John Morgan, but how about a man you know pretty well amongst those leaders, Chris Wood, rounding 69 today to go with his opening round of 73 under par. He's been in good form and he's showing more of it here.
He is. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Chris, you know, I know his work ethic very well. He lives on my doorstep pretty much, you know, just up the road. And, you know, he's always out there bashing balls. He's working with his coach Mitch, and really works hard on his game, and you know he gets the best out of himself, and you know he's as fit as a fiddle. I mean, he's a 6 foot six and a half giant, you know, and he rips a ball a country mile. He strikes the ball gorgeous, and you know he's one of these guys. You know, if there was ever a weakness, and he'll say it himself, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, from 110 yards, 120 yards in, he was just lacking a little bit. But he loves to fine-tune a few things and get on the golf course and work it all out. And he comes up trumps 9 times out of 10. And, you know, he's in a very good place right now, Chris. Very, very happy, very relaxed. I mean, the BMW was just a breath of fresh air for him, you know. Could show that he could mix it with the big boys again after being out a little bit injured for a long time. And, you know, and now coming to the Irish Open where you're playing around such a tough track. And we've known through the years what it's been like for him. You know, Lynx Golf in Open Championships, I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, as an amateur, he just kicked, you know, some good Bristolian butt out there on the golf course. And, you know, it just came up trumps. And, you know, it comes to another Lynx golf course and you're seeing him up the leaderboard again.
Yeah, startling play from Chris Wood. Richie Ramsey looked like he might finish at 4 under par at one stage, but he had his first bogey of the day at his last hole of the day, the par 4 ninth hole. But a round of 67 nonetheless. Not too shabby, was it, from Ramsey, winner of the trophy Hassan Dur early this season. He credits his Scottish upbringing for being able to cope with anything that the weather and the course threw at him today.
Royal Aberdeen's one of the best links courses in the world. The front nine is unbelievable stretch of golf. And I think there's some holes out there that resemble that, especially the first when you walk down that with the dunes either side. And coming to Ireland, I've always tended to do well in Ireland for some reason. I was saying before, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of support for the event. We have a great field in Ireland full of fantastic golf courses, so you put those ingredients in and only good things can come from it.
Does that mean you fancied your chances coming in?
It was going to be tough, you know, it's a fantastic field, but you know, chasing world ranking points and getting up that race to Dubai is a good goal for me. And if I can do it this week on a course that probably does suit my game, then all the better.
Has it helped that your caddy is from this part of the world as well?
Yeah, he's, you know, he lives in Carnoustie now, but he's from up in Coleraine, so he knows, you know, he knows how to play links golf, and he knows how sometimes you got to hold the ball in the wind, or you got to ride it on the wind and the bounces and things. So that does probably help, gives it a little bit of element, but you know, it's one of those things that the Irish and the Scottish are very good, are very accustomed to playing this kind of golf, and you know, long may it continue, especially this week.
Yeah, Richie Ramsey talking to our reporter Nick Dyer as one of those showers came over Royal County Down. You're his lucky charm, aren't you, John Morgan? The last European Tour event you were at was in Morocco. Here you are in Northern Ireland. There is Richie Ramsey up there again. And they were quite difficult conditions, weren't they, in Morocco?
Well, it was. And I mean, he came up trumps and he was holding a dagger at the end of it, which he gets given. And he was, you know, he was trying to get it through customs and he was having a bit of trouble.
I'm not surprised.
Because this thing was rubies and diamonds and gold and everything you can see. But, you know, he loves the links, especially, you know, Morocco compared to Royal County Down. Small greens, very undulating, massive runoffs, big bunkers. I mean, and it's very windy on the coast there in Morocco, and he's come to here at Royal County Down, and there's kind of similar aspects. Yeah, of course, you know, Royal County Down is a totally different beast altogether, but there's a few little similarities, and he's warming to it.
Yeah, doing very nicely. A terrific round of golf then from Richie Ramsey, a 67. Søren Kjeldsen, well, he looked like he might have the outright lead at one point. He got himself to 5 under par, dropped a shot at the third hole as he was coming back in, and he dropped another couple of holes later, but he did really well. Some good par-saving putts to get in the clubhouse with a round of 70. Ron, we've seen, isn't it, those par-saving putts that Kjeldsen made, they're going to be key, aren't they, over the final 2 days to see who actually emerges as a winner.
It's strange, this tournament, Richard, because it's taken everyone back, I think, in many respects to what golf could be and should be and used to be on these sort of courses. Because what are we used to? We're used to seeing the ball flying into the green, pitching, stopping, spinning back, and all this sort of stuff. And it really is target golf most of the time, let's be honest about it. When you think that we've been talking today about a cut coming at 5-6 over par, When did you last remember? You know, can you remember when that last occurred? It just doesn't happen. Most cuts, you know, it's 5 under par, isn't it? 6 under par. So it's been unusual in that respect. And you're absolutely right. It isn't just about making birdies. We've had birdies, of course. We've had eagles. We've even had an albatross. But the fact is, those putts to save par are as important as any of the others.
Yeah, indeed they are, and that's going to be key over Saturday and Sunday at Royal County Down. What a start to the day it was for Tyrrell Hatton. Eagle at the first, birdie at the second, birdie at the third, 3-3-3 start. He got it to 5-under for the day after birdieing the par 3 seventh, and 5-under is where he finished the day. A round of 66, the best score so far this week at Royal County Down, a new course record that left Hatton amongst those co-leaders, and Bernd Wiesberger also amongst them. What was the key then to the Austrian success?
I was driving really nicely, even the tightish fairways. I was hitting the fairways. That obviously helps a lot going into the greens. And I think that's key out here, driving the ball nicely. Then you can actually have a couple of chances out there, especially par fives are a good opportunity to make birdies. But you know, if you just off a little bit, it doesn't take much, and you get into positions where you have to scramble a lot, it gets difficult, and yeah, you need to stay focused out there.
Best back nine of the week, that 31 shots from Bernd Wiesberger, 16, 17 birdies there, followed by an eagle at 18. Came back in 36, but a 67 has left him in that share of the lead. A stroke further back is none other than the former world number one, Luke Donald. He's on 2-under par. In need of good finish here, isn't he, to make sure he's at St Andrews for the Open Championship. And Donald was pretty pleased with another 70 in what was for him today's more testing conditions.
Today was tougher than yesterday, just with the weather conditions. You know, we had some squirrely showers that came through that were pretty strong at times. You really had to time it well. You hoped you weren't on a really tough hole when the showers came through, but certainly you know, made for trying conditions, but made it through pretty well. I believe the wind is meant to keep blowing the next few days, so 7, 8, 9 under would be very good.
Yeah, Ron, you were out there watching Luke Donald today. He went on a real run, didn't he, around that turn?
He did. He had consecutive birdies, didn't he, on, what was it?
8, 9 and 10.
Then he had a par, then he had another birdie. That really was. It was interesting. It was around about the time when the wind suddenly dropped. We did have a period of about 20 minutes or so when suddenly we, almost for the first time in the tournament, we had no wind. And the one man who really took advantage of that was Luke Donald. But having said that, even in the highest wind and the driving rain, he kept his rhythm. One of the things I've always felt about Luke Donald, he's had a great rhythm to his swing. It really, it's compact. He's strong. He's such a, you know, Luke isn't the tallest, but he's strong. When he stands over the ball, you can see that strength in his legs, and that enables him to perform with this lovely rhythmic swing. And he kept that going in spite of the conditions, because actually the heavy wind and the heavy rain, there's nothing destroys rhythm more than that. And Luke kept that going, also kept his head, of course. He's a lovely, calm player. And right to the end, he kept it going. And at 2-under par, I'll tell you what, if you've got a little bit of money, put it on Luke Donald.
OK, Ron Jones with a tip for you there on Luke. He's only a shot off the lead, as is Padraig Harrington. I suppose in some respect, a frustrating day for the joint overnight leader, Padraig Harrington. At one point, believe it or not, during this second round, it didn't last for long, but he did have a five-shot lead. But he struggled on his back nine, finished 2-over par for the day, 2-under par for the tournament. John Harrington obviously went out there today. He wanted to try and separate himself from the field. As I mentioned there briefly, he did that. But he's also like Luke Donald in terms of star quality. You know, Luke, a former world number one, Padraig, a three-time major winner. He's going to be one to look out for as well at the weekend.
Well, experience counts for a lot, especially around a golf course like this. And Padraig was actually just in the group in front of me. You know, I was seeing everything go on, all the escapades and the ranting and raving from the crowds when all the putts were starting to drop. And he, all of a sudden, I looked in front and seen his little board up, and it was 7-under. I was thinking, he's playing a different game. What planet's this boy on? And, you know, he's 4-under first round, 3-under through hardly how many holes he got into, and he's 7-under par. But Harrington, you know, back at 2, I know he had a bit of a nightmare coming in, and you know, but for someone like Harrington, he really composes himself really, really well. He'd go home, have a bit of grub, you know, chill out with his mates, you know, really relax, and he'll come back a whole fresh and a different kettle of fish for the next third round of golf.
But he carries the burden, I suppose, over the weekend, Ron, of the local hopes now, doesn't he?
He does a little bit. The crowds were great with him, of course, and he responds so well. Podrick has been around long enough, what, 20 years now on the tour, and he knows exactly what is expected of him. Maybe a little extra special, of course, that the fact that he's playing at home on a course that he knows how to play it. He did have that disastrous four shots in three holes he dropped on the back nine. But nonetheless, this was a tribute to him as well. Back he came, and two holes later, he gets a birdie and he's back on track. So don't rule out Podrick at all. But now with Rory out of the championship, most of the limelight, I suppose, will fall on Podrick Harrington. But believe you me, he can handle it. In fact, no one responds to that better than Podrick. As he himself has said quite recently, if he's in contention, that's when his game really starts.
As we saw earlier this season on the PGA Tour when he won the Honda Classic. A 73, though, from him today. I suppose, in the end, given what John was saying, 3 under par, 3-10 holes, a disappointing score for the Irishman, especially as he had some decent conditions this morning.
Three is, you know, I hit a bad tee shot and left myself in a lot of trouble, whereas, you know, you get a decent tee shot and it's a big fairway, you know, it's a big target for your second shot. Four is a tough hole, but I nearly hold my tee shot. So, yeah, four is tough, no doubt about it. But they're all very playable. Every hole you make a bogey on out there, I can tell you, you're disappointed. There's nothing brutish.
Am I right to assume there's every reason for confidence, given your position in the tournament at halfway?
I'd have taken it at the start of the week, but, yeah, I know I have to play well in the weekend, really well. You know, brought a lot of people back into this tournament, so, you know, I have to play well and hopefully not get any bad runs like I did there on the back nine.
Rafael Cabrera-Bello, another player who's in contention. Matt Ford, 36-year-old English rookie. He finished with a 71. He's at 1 under par. Bradley Dredge, John Parry, Richard McAvoy, all hovering as well, not too far away from the top of the leaderboard. And one of the shots of the day, well, that, of course, came from Andy Sullivan, who held his second shot to the par 5 first, his 10th hole of the day, with a 2-iron to record the second albatross in successive weeks on the European Tour. I'm told the 93rd in European Tour history. He came into the European Tour radio studio earlier and told us how he saw the shot.
I pushed my tee shot a little bit and finished on the side slope on the right and drew a good lie and hit a 2-iron. And my caddy said in the air, he said, no matter what happens, that's a golf shot. It's a real good shot. And then we walked 10 yards and next thing it's in the hole.
See it go in?
No, I didn't even know. Just heard from the reaction of the crowd down there. And yeah, I think that's my first albatross. So absolutely fantastic. Just over the moon with it, really.
Yeah, wonderful moment from Andy Sullivan, who's another who's in contention. Some other scores to give you for players who aren't that far off the lead, even though in terms of where they're positioned right now, number-wise, they're a long way back. But just five shots back, Francesco Molinari, Ernie Els, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Paul McGinley, Danny Willits at 3 under par. Last week's winner, Benny Ahn, at 3 over par, rather. Benny Ahn, last week's winner, 4 over par. Lee Westwood, Tongchai Jaidi on that mark. And Graham McDowell birding the last to get to 5 over par. Darren Clark and Alex Noren on that mark too. What about Shane Lowry? Finished with a 74, but that's only half the story, isn't it? Bearing in mind, he broke his putter and only his third hole of the day in irritation. A really disturbing moment for Shane. He had to dig deep, didn't he? He was having to use to putt his wedge instead.
This is an amazing feat. If he can make the cut putting with a wedge, well, you've got to take your hat off to him. There's no end to this boy's talents.
As the putt moves on its way, it's on its way towards the hole. It's going into the hole from Shane Lowry. The smile is back.
Is this all a result of this tournament just meaning so much to you?
Yeah, it does. You know, I tried so hard and just got frustrated. 12th hole, easy par 5, and missed a 2-footer for par. And yeah, stupidly did what I did, but sure, things happen, you know. I'm a passionate player. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and yeah, that's it, really.
Well, the good news for him, John, is that he hasn't thrown himself out of the tournament by doing what he did, because he's made the cut. And as I mentioned, most of the players that have made the cut, in some respect, given the weather conditions we can get here at Royal County Down, are still in with a chance of winning this golf tournament.
I think everyone is. I mean, this golf course can just pick you up and, you know, eat you and spit you back out again. You know, all these guys that are at the first top of the leaderboard here, I mean, we might just see an array of bad scores, because this is what Royal County Down is all about. All of a sudden, you're 1 yard further right than you were the previous day, and all of a sudden, you're staring double, triple in the you know, right in the face. But, you know, I think Mr. Lowry, I do fancy him coming back strong. He'd have got a new putter now. He'd have been back on the putting green, getting used to it, getting a feel for it again. And, I mean, his putt, that was the third from the last hole on the seventh, was an absolute beauty. Done a little Michael Flatley dance, you know, little jig, little fist pump. He knew how important it was, and the people went absolutely crazy for him.
Yeah, unfortunately, not such good news for Gregory Avery. Brett Rumford, among the players who were forced to withdraw during their second round, Simon Dyson, another player who had to bow out. But in a different way, those who had to bow out because they missed the cut, I suppose the most glaring omission from the weekend, we've touched on it already, of course, is the world number one, the tournament host, Rory McIlroy. A better day for him today, a second round 71, but too much to do after that opening round of 80. John, you're out there watching him this afternoon. He did everything he could, didn't he? And at one point in the day, it looked like he might actually get to that cut mark.
He did. The momentum changed for him, especially with his putt on the seventh hole. And you've got to think to yourself, well, there's another 11 holes to be played. And you fancy his chances because you know what Rory can do when he gets on a charge or he starts seeing the ball disappear in the hole. And, you know, with his striking ability off the tee, and this is a striker's golf course. There's no two ways about it. You can't just come out here and just hit little bobbly ones, you know, off the tee. No, you got to get your heart through it and the club head through it. And, you know, fortune favours the brave round a track like this. And Rory, I did find he just, wind came out of his sails, you know, a couple of holes later where he just dropped a shot and it wasn't going to be for him. But, you know, he'll come back bigger and better, you know, as he will do, guaranteed. He's too good not to.
Absolutely. His next event, of course, will be the US Open. But as far as the Irish Open is concerned, no more for Rory McIlroy. Obviously disappointed he couldn't find any form in front of his home crowd.
Felt like I played okay today. I just left myself too much to do. It's hard to do that with the conditions and the wind. You know, even just shooting something under par out here is a really good effort. It is what it is. I mean, I find playing different conditions of, you know, a little bit easier than say playing in this. But you know, I just need to get better at that.
Yeah, disappointed Rory McIlroy. Of course, we won't see him on the course, but I'm sure we'll see him over the weekend. A lot of good work to be done here this weekend with his Rory Foundation. Not the only big name to miss the cut, the defending champion, Mikko Ilonen. He had to bow out. James Morrison, of course, a winner a few weeks ago. Matteo Manassero had a very difficult second round. Sergio Garcia, another who failed away during the second round. Graham Storm, who was, of course, amateur champion here in 1999 and one of the Ryder Cup victorious team from last year, Victor Dubuisson, a long way from making the cut mark. So, Ron, John, just your brief highlights. Are they starting with you, Ron? Anything stick out for you?
Well, Luke Donald's play, I think, general play, one or two outstanding putts as well. He and he also played a bunker shot at 14, which was absolutely superb. He was in the left-hand bunker, just to the left of the green. Not the best of lies, and he played a wonderful bunker shot. He is one of the world's great bunker shot experts, of course, but that probably as one shot was as good as anything that I saw today. But just generally, the play of Luke Donald, I think, which really did impress me.
And John, from you?
Well, I loved Ricky Fowler's demeanour out on the golf course. It really did come through leaps and bounds. I mean, the patience of the man never got rattled when he was out of position. Every shot was really precise, apart from that one on the 18th where it just, you know, bit of error and it went into a bad line. You know, he was able to work something out of it. But like yourself, though, Ron, the best shot I've seen all day came from that left side bunker, and it was Ernie Els this time, and he just flipped it up, hit this little bump, Miranda'd on down to the hole, and then he put it in to save his par, and that was world class.
Well, plenty more terrific golf shots, I'm sure, are still to come. And for a full list of all those who'll be here at the weekend who missed the cut, you know what to do. Go to the European Tour website, europeantour.com, and click on the leaderboard. That is the story of the second day of this Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation here at Royal County Down. We'll be on air from 9 o'clock British Summer Time tomorrow morning, bringing you full uninterrupted commentary on European Tour Radio. You can hear us on the course and its surrounds, as you know, on 107.6 FM around the world on europeantour.com, the European Tour app, and and on TuneIn as well. Remember, do get in touch with us, please. Any thoughts you've got over what may happen at the weekend, you can do so on the Twitter handles at European Tour, at Irish Open Golf, at Golf Chat Live, or you can email us, europeantourradio@aol.com. Make sure you join us then in the morning, but till then, from Johnny Morgan, Ron Jones, and me, Richard Kaufman, and all of the Live at Dubai duty-free Irish Open Radio team, it's goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Dubai Duty Free Irish Open Radio, hosted by the Rory Foundation.